Greetings in Jesus' name. Workshop assigned to me was onboarding the first year teacher. Now Stan's going to hand out some handouts. We won't be looking at these right away. I'd like you to take a look at them, take a look at the points, and we'll come back to those later. And I'd also appreciate, as I'm going through, I'm going to share some experiences that I've had and experiences I've gained from other teachers. And as I go through, I'd like you to feel free to pick things out that you would like clarification on, that you'd like discussion on, maybe even things you disagree with me about. I challenge you to do that. These are simply things that I've gleaned. So we'll move through that, and then we'll open it up for discussion and hopefully spend some time in discussion. Henry Ford said, Henry Ford was very vital in building the automobile manufacturing trade, and he was known for wisdom in setting that up and in employee relations. The only thing worse than training your employees and having them leave is not training them and having them stay. So as school board, as administration, it is in our best interest to train these teachers. The teachers that come as young, inexperienced men or women, it's not uncommon to have a 19-year-old teacher, 20-year-old teacher. They're taking on a very vital part of the work of the church. So that goes to be understood that administration of the school holds an important part in preparing this teacher to develop his or her skills and to be effective in the classroom, teaching the children that you are sending to school. A few things I'd like to pick out of our that were in our handbook in our school about the teacher. The first one is, teachers shall be sound in faith and doctrine, be apt to teach, and shall measure up to a high standard of Christian life and conduct. They should be an example of the believers in spirituality and in separation from the world, including plainness and modesty of dress. So these teachers are to be an example. The teacher also has a responsibility to teach the curriculum set up by the board, to maintain proper discipline, and to keep such records as are required by the board or Department of Education. The teacher shall endeavor to avoid any classroom procedures which may foster the spirit of pride, but rather they shall encourage the attitude of preferring one another, whereby students study for personal benefits. Another one, in the event of a discipline problem, the teachers shall report to the board so that together they may find a satisfactory and scriptural solution. So a few of those points I mentioned highlight the importance of what this new teacher is doing. The teacher is responsible for general order. The teacher must learn to quickly meet the needs of young children with unique personalities, unique problems. The teacher needs to be a referee. The teacher needs to administrate justice. And the students really expect that teacher to know everything. It's a tall order, it really is. I split this up into three sections. I have relationships, and this is probably the closest part to my heart. And the burden of this is that the relationship between administration is vibrant and effective. Then I have equipping the new teacher, some basic tools, and then preparing the teacher for the journey. Things to get that teacher going and hopefully a long career of teaching. We must first of all picture this as a group, a team effort. It is not ever teachers against parents. It is not ever teachers against school board. There's no sides in a good school environment. if we get this concept right, then we're well on our way to success. If we can make it that it is always the first goal of everyone involved to be a team and to have a unified effort and to what the school is there for, if we can understand that, we're well on our way. Solid understanding of the roles. So yes, this is a team effort, but everybody is there for a reason. We don't have 10 teachers. There might be 10 people at the board meeting, but they are not doing the same thing. A school board, administration, ministry that takes advantage of the gifts and capabilities of each member will naturally be right on the ball with setting out clear guidelines for their new teacher. If they understand what their roles are, they're going to have it. They have a new teacher and they know this is where he fits. There's a puzzle piece with his name on it right there. A teacher that has that concept is going to be a really wonderful benefit to hardworking board. A teacher that knows his place and knows that he is in that piece for a reason. He's in that for a reason. He's gonna be such a blessing to a late night board meeting that struggles to find solutions. The teacher is going to take his place and he's going to run with it, as they say. Teamwork is not over the shoulder. I worked on a farm for a number of years and had a very well-meaning boss. He would teach me something and I'd go out in the fields for, you know, I'd be doing something for a few days and he'd come around and he liked pointing things out, you know, you do this way, and that stressed me out. I don't know if you know how that is, but having somebody sitting beside you, as it were, looking over your shoulder, yeah, that's when the bad stuff happened, is when there was somebody over my shoulder, and I meant well, but I just couldn't handle that stress. And a new teacher is going to have a fair bit of that, so it's really a balance. It's a fine line with being there for them and not making them feel like they're over the school board is hanging over the shoulder. Rather, the school board, all administration, the principal, the teacher, the parents, they're going to be working shoulder to shoulder. It's a team. One important thing that a board can do is help build the teacher's confidence. I know the first year I taught, I don't remember the situation. It mustn't have been very major. I think it was within the first 3 weeks of school. We had a situation, and again, it mustn't have been a major discipline issue. But anyways, somehow throughout the situation, somebody, I don't remember a lot of details, decided it would be a good idea for the principal to come in and just talk to my class, tell them this is the way it is, here's the things we should do. Well, it was very well-meaning. But through a bit of encouragement, I actually went to the principal and I said, look, I'm kind of scared to do this, but could I just tell my students this? And I was blessed by his response. He built my confidence. He stood right behind me. He said, you go do what you need to do. He basically said, this is what they need to hear. And he stood right behind me. And young teacher, as confident as they may seem or look, rarely is. Especially in the first few weeks when they're learning the ropes. Encourage this teacher to take initiative, to be right up there with taking a problem and looking for solutions. and not putting the board out of their, not minimizing the importance of the board, but if the teacher, that new teacher, can take initiative and pinpoint a problem from the start where it's obvious, then the board is not going to have as much work to do. A lot of people perform best with just a little bit, at least a little bit of free rein. And your new first-year teacher is going to be the same. You can't let them run, but you need to have that free rein of trust in there. And if they struggle with taking responsibility, then lay things out for them. Say, here's something you can do, no matter how small it may be, and give them a bit of free rein. And they'll learn through that. A few points on communication. Don't assume things. This goes for both sides, and most of these points do. It's not just the board. It goes for the teacher as well. Use words to communicate. Use lots of words to communicate. Be open. Think out loud. It's going to help your new teacher to grasp how the system works. I'd like to use a little illustration, and it's one I've been thinking about for the last day. I don't have it written out, but we think of communication and understanding. I'd like to try to illustrate, and I don't have anything for or against pets in the classroom. I never did. But so we have this new teacher. He gets into October, and you know, they started out great, but things kind of just start falling apart, and you know, the morale of the students is low, it's wet, it's rainy. This teacher lights on a brilliant idea one day after school. He's going to get a pet. A classroom pet. He thinks it's over, and you know, he takes responsibility for the struggles his classroom is having. He takes it personally, because that's often how new teachers do. They'll take it personally. They must be doing something wrong. So anyways, he comes up with this idea. It's going to be the best thing ever. It's going to lift the mood in the classroom. He'll give the students responsibilities to care for this thing, whatever it may be. He has it all planned up, and he's kind of built a little castle there that this is what's going to solve his problem, because again, he's new. He doesn't have some of these tools that an experienced teacher will. Then we have the board's perspective. There was a pet in the classroom last year. It was trouble. One of the students was always teasing this pet rabbit. It got out, it made a mess, it chewed wires, nearly burned the school down. So this teacher takes his well-meaning idea to the school board. Guess which way the school board's going to vote. So the teacher is sitting in his classroom after school. The principal, chair, however you do it, comes in and says, no pets. And that's the extent of the conversation. The board is probably going to, well, of course we don't have pets here. What's this teacher thinking? They're trouble. The teachers think, the board doesn't understand my problem. Miscommunication can happen so easily. And with the best of intentions, the board knows that teacher doesn't want the pet. The teacher knows the board must not want them to have a good classroom. It can happen so easily in tiny things. So that's why we need to talk. The teacher needs to say, look, I have a problem with my students. You know, they're so down in the dumps. That's one sentence, and the board, the principal will understand that, look, this, it's not that they need a pet, it's that they need a lift. The board takes one sentence to say, no, we, you know, rabbits are trouble. And the teacher will, you know, understand something must have happened that, you know, that wasn't ideal. So it just takes words. Ask questions. There's no such thing as a bad question. Even rhetorical questions. If you're sitting in a staff meeting, ask a question, even if you think you know what the answer is, especially in a new teacher, you assume this new teacher knows because we've always done this. Ask those questions, even difficult ones that you probably won't get an answer to. And these points on communication are much more important when you have a teacher that is coming in from outside of your circle into a school that's new to them. I recently spoke with an acquaintance of mine that teaches school, and we were discussing this, things that each of us have actually experienced, where just like the story of the pet in the classroom, we had good intentions, the board had good intentions, but we didn't understand each other. Because we hadn't been here for 10 years. And the board perhaps didn't understand that he doesn't know about this. The communication is extremely important. Endeavor to understand the heart of the matter. Both ways again. Teacher to board, board to teacher. Endeavor, take much effort to try to understand what is behind the goal of this person. Learn from each other. A teacher can't come in, even a fifth year teacher, can't come into a meeting and assume he knows everything. Be open to truth, like we heard this morning. Be positive. Meetings should be a learning experience. Draw out the best in each other. Maintain an atmosphere of positive teamwork and problem solving. Eliminate bias. That person never has good ideas. We try his stuff, it doesn't work. You know, discuss, work through something like that. Maybe we can just change this idea and his good ideas turn into good ideas. His bad ideas turn into good ideas if you just discuss it a bit. Some people think out loud. I'm one like that. If I have something on my mind, I need to talk about it. And people are, I know sometimes people are like, well, what are you talking about? That doesn't make sense. Well, I'm thinking. And, you know, sometimes you can run into teachers like that. And, yeah, they're probably a little hard to deal with. But just talk to them. Get them to talk about their ideas. Things like, we've always done it this way, you know, why would we change? Or the last time we tried that, it doesn't work. You know, that, for that new teacher, it's discouraging. That may be the case, but explain yourself. And it seems redundant. Don't let discouragement hold back progress. Especially when you have a fresh new teacher that has lots of ideas. 90% of them might never be worth even considering. But when that teacher brings in fresh air, use it. Be discerning, of course, but, you know, be willing. A few things just to make it easier for a new teacher on a board level. So just a few points on things a board can do to make it easier for the teacher. Be clear with your expectations. Again, things that you might assume he knows. Be clear. Make a list. Just write, jot down things that, you know, you don't really think about usually, but things that the teacher might need to know. Be understanding of misunderstanding. So if the teacher misunderstands or misinterprets your expectations, work through it. Don't judge. Reserve your judgment, especially when you haven't ever given guidance on a subject. If a teacher goes in and does something, so like this pet thing, the board knows it's a bad idea. If the teacher goes in and does it, don't assume he knows better. Work through it again. Talk about it. Don't judge, and be very slow to mark that as a point up against them. He probably just needs a bit of understanding. he might not do that in 3 years. He'll probably know better by then. He'll know it doesn't work. Another thing, it was a new idea, but again, talking to a fellow teacher, the idea of a mentor for new teachers. And this was in the situation of maybe taught for 5 years, and there was all of his co-teachers were new, and it looked really big to him, and I had that experience every year. Actually, I was the only teacher that stayed, except the first year. At first year, I don't know what I did because my co-teachers did everything. Second year and the third year, then it kind of strikes you that, well, you know, you have to kind of know what's going on here. So this school had actually provided a mentor. It was somebody that had taught kindergarten earlier, with experience in teaching school. It was two young sisters mainly, and she'd come in once a week or maybe more and talk to them. You know, somebody that's acquainted with school can perhaps get to the root of a new teacher quicker than a formidable chairman or principal can. So that's something I'd be open to thoughts on. Is there a place for a mentor for new teachers? Equipping the new teacher. One thing that's a good idea is to encourage the new teacher in an outlet for things on a more personal level, especially a teacher that's coming from out of his area and boarding somewhere. Give him things to do that aren't related to school. You know, invite him over for supper and don't think about school. Provide an outlet for that more personal level. That's very important. A first-year teacher can burn out without catching on that anything has ever started. A second or third year teacher will pick things up that, you know, things are starting to go a little bit sour here. A first year teacher isn't going to pick those things up. And they're going to pour all their time into it before they understand that, look, this is too much. And it might not be something even over that overwhelming. And if you build that personal relationship, that's going to build communication automatically. Sometimes if it is a young sister, even young men, somebody that that teacher can trust, maybe somebody they know already from that community. I was blessed with a first-year chairman that was a teacher. And we spent hours on the phone. I was driving back maybe one out of every 3 weekends, and we'd spend hours on the phone. He had time to talk, and that was a great blessing. Not every chairman or principal is going to have that gift, and we might do well to find somebody that has that gift. And they don't necessarily even have to be a link, but just an outlet for them. Give responsibilities to your teacher. And it might start very small. It probably should. But give them something they can do, even if they're unsure of it, something simple, and let them take care of it. In talking with another teacher about two first-year teachers in the two younger grades, they were very unsure about taking stuff on. The board said, here, we have a sledding day normally. You take responsibility. It's pretty hard to mess a sledding day up. You know, if the students get out of the schoolyard and they have something to drink or something to eat, they're going to have fun. You can't really mess it up. So give them that responsibilities. Lay it out, give them responsibility, and they'll learn, and over time they'll take on more and greater responsibilities. Information. The new teacher needs a lot of new information. Find a way to bring it together and to present it to them or make it available to them. That's one thing I think that is often missed. We expect our teachers to know everything. We need to have somewhere that they can access this information. Another thought that I'd like some discussion on possibly, unless there isn't any, is allowing an outgoing teacher to help out with this. A lot of teachers, most teachers, probably all teachers in our Christian schools, take the job very seriously, and it fills them. It takes a spot in their heart. It really did for me. And they quit for different circumstances, but they're not going to forget that. And they would just love to help this new teacher out. Sometimes it won't work. It won't be practical. But I managed to convince, I don't know if convince how that all worked, but the outgoing teacher the year before, we drove out one Saturday maybe, and we went through the curriculum together, and that was wonderful. That was a real boost to my excitement. I learned a lot of valuable things through that. So if we can somehow link the two teachers together in a good way, obviously, then that can be a real boost. Take advantage of the zeal of the outgoing teacher, especially, for sure, if it's a teacher that's taught for a long time. He's going to have a lot of wisdom. And then working through that, that teacher's going to get a concept of how the school works, how the administration works, and the roles and responsibilities. Kind of back to the information thing, have a bit of a framework in mind, in place, so that the teacher gets, you know, a boost in the first few weeks at least. They're not going to grasp the fullness of the responsibilities in the first week. They're not going in the first month. They probably won't in the first year. Make things available for lesson planning, tools. If there is a bin of science supplies somewhere, make sure he knows about it. And other things. An experienced teacher can take a lesson and he can manipulate it and teach it to the best of his ability, the way the class will take it the best. And he'll know that. A new teacher doesn't know that. So make tools available for him to make it interesting, to make it stick. Classroom supplies as well. Make sure the teacher knows about that. Another thing we have on our handout, I don't even have a copy. Stan, do you have extra ones? Is number two. What amount of information is necessary to give a new teacher? So, it's a good idea sometimes to make your new teacher aware of some issues, maybe that a specific student has. How far do you go with this? I'd really like some discussion on that. I hope you have some. How much information do you give a new teacher? If you go too far, it's going to hinder them. If you don't give them enough, it could be enough to derail a good start to a year. There's a balance there. Help your teacher deal with classroom issues, struggles on a personal level. Again, a new teacher is going to be more apt to take classroom struggles to his own personal level, to take personal responsibility for them. And sometimes you should. That's not a bad thing, but it can go to the point, again, where that teacher is burnt out just because of an issue that some communication could solve, because that new teacher just can't really help taking this thing personally. Preparing the teacher for the journey. So we're halfway through the year, things are going well. How do we get this new teacher prepared for a career? Guard against overload. Like I said before, a new teacher will not catch on necessarily if they are overloaded. They might not catch on the first year. It could be well into the second year that they suffer from the problems of the first year. It is not uncommon, if you talk to teachers that have taught for a number of years, that halfway through a year, they will catch on that they need to make significant changes to the way they operate their classroom, to the way they teach various different things. They need to make significant changes so that there's the energy and resources to make it through the year in and be of good value to the students. So be on the lookout for this, especially in a first-year teacher. And sometimes things can kind of change over time throughout the year, and a teacher will all of a sudden have a lot more on his plate than he started out with. Be open, on the lookout for that. If you sense burnout in a teacher, don't discourage him with it, but reach out and try to figure out what's going on. Help maintain an atmosphere of direct energy into the school life. I think this is very important for a career teacher. Help your teacher to put his all into school. Especially, again, somebody that's moved, perhaps. Support a teacher in the background so that they can put their whole energy into school. It can be very simple. A cup of coffee at 10:30 at night, delivered to your classroom when you're studying or checking, is tremendous. I've had that happen. And that's not usually the time of night that people are around with handing out cups of coffee, but it showed an interest in my personal life. They came in and talked about what's going on in my life. Again, school was kind of out of the picture for right then. But that helped me to put my whole energy back in to school because I knew that there's people that care about me when I'm not at school, when I'm not doing school things. Take responsibility to encourage or strengthen the teacher in their Christian life. There's various ways we can do this as a board. It's probably going to come more down to a personal level. Take personal responsibility to just reach out and give a little nudge. If you build their Christian life, you'll build their effectiveness in the classroom. That goes without saying. Apply the concept of spiritual brotherhood to your teacher in a purposeful manner. School is for the glory of God. A committed Christian that takes his or her responsibilities seriously will be a blessing to the school, even if they're not a perfect teacher. A committed Christian, even if they really can't teach, will still be a blessing. Okay. We have 15 minutes. I'd like to discuss these 4 points. First of all, is there anything that I shared? Again, these are just my thoughts. I'm more than willing to discuss some of them. Anything that you'd like to pick out?
It's important that the school procedures and things that's communicated from the board to the teacher. The teacher can easily ask the students, especially with upper grades, how did you do things last year? What do you usually do? But if it's done too much, it starts being that the collective student body, they're actually quite an authority, and it hinders the proper rule of authority in school.
That there's two problems, you mentioned both of them. The one is that the students are always going to put their twist on it a little bit. You know, they might not be lying, but they're, you know, it might be looking to make things look a little better. And it also undermines the authority, like you said. Any other thoughts on that or anything else? How does a teacher respond? How should a teacher respond when a student says, this is what we did last year? especially when you catch on, that's actually not a bad idea. What does the teacher, how does the teacher respond? Yeah, this is kind of off our topic, but. What was that?
Slowly.
Slowly? Think. Think it through. Don't act rashly. No, we can't do that. This is this year. You know, that's, you might have to say that. You probably will sometime. How do you help your teacher make a new start while building on the last year that was a really good year? How do you help your teacher do that? I think one way is to take responsibility of that situation. Even if you think it's a good idea, you probably do yourself justice to think it over, even take a day to do it if it's not something that has to be decided on the spot. And you might come back with him and say, look, this is a good idea. I think we can do that. Anything else on anything other than the discussion points?
On that point of, well, last year we did this, especially if it was a different teacher, and this probably relates a little bit to question two, but it's important, I think, that each teacher realizes their own teacher. To put a pressure on a teacher that last year the teacher did this, and therefore, you know, you should do that too. We're probably forgetting that last year the teacher did something that we didn't want either, right? And therefore, to be under the strain of filling the shoes, especially I think with a new teacher coming in, I would assume there's a bit of a pressure there to try and perform like the previous teacher did. Right? But in a sense, you can learn from them. But you do have to be your own self, too.
I had a very high opinion of the teacher that taught before me, and I still do. It wasn't until the second year that I caught on, you know, he wasn't a perfect teacher. The first year, you know, I would have... Yeah, he did this good idea, let's do it this way, too. I mean, that often clashed with, yeah, I kind of want to be in charge here, too. That can be a struggle to know how to make that transition work well. Building off of, you know, when I taught, we ran into things that were not from the year before, but from probably 5 years before. Things that were new to me. It's like, you actually do it this way? Yeah, because they taught us, you know, this is the best way to do it 5 years ago. Well, a little hard to know what to do in a situation like that. Okay, we're running low on time. So moving into the 4 points here, I hope they kind of grasp the entirety of our subject. I don't have textbook answers for these. I may have some thoughts, but I want you to be part of this. So we'll start out with the first one. In our first year teacher, how much input, influence, responsibilities should a new teacher have in classroom management in the first few months? What does the board lay out? This is how you do it. And what does the teacher take responsibility of? Does anybody have kind of a framework for this? Anybody that's on the board, do you have a written out protocol of what the teacher does and what the board does for the first, well, ever? Yes.
I was put in charge of writing up a list of procedures once when we had all new teachers coming again. And it's amazing how much that stuff is tradition. Like how many people in the bathroom at once, what recess schedule you have, and the school devotions. the school leaders do expect the teachers to do some responsibility on Friday cleaning, even if the cleaners are coming, they don't want a total mess. There's just on and on those little details, which how many of them are important enough that the new teacher must know about them, and some of them are just things that the way they happen to get done. And that's what I found very hard to write something up. Is this really important enough that you want to load the new teacher with, you must remember this, or is it just one of those operating procedures?
If you have all new teachers 1 year, you're going to have an all new school. Unless you take some responsibility and pass, you know, some of those important things along. So something to think about. Maybe we'll just leave that one for now. We can always come back, but I think we're going to run out of time. How much information do you give a new teacher? And this is more from the angle of things that have been problems that this teacher should maybe know about. Do they need to know about it?
Very, very little.
Very little. Do you have
any child is in school without a last name. The teacher will figure out soon enough if he has a problem.
It's been observed more than once that when a student moves from one classroom to another, sometimes the thing that was a problem is no longer a problem.
I've seen some of both of that in my years of teaching, where an issue with a new teacher can just be resolved, and I think a big part of that is the student growing up. You know, in that grade 6, 7, and 8, there's a lot of development happening in the student, and we owe it to them to give them a fresh start. But yet, sometimes there's things the teacher may need to know. I think I agree very much with Roger, very little. Unless, you know, unless the teacher knows that. I tend to go to drastic examples when I have to think something up, but if last year's teacher know that if you don't do this, the student's going to break a window on you. It's something like that. It has to be fairly drastic before you say, look, this might happen, be ready for it. But give them a fresh start. It's a new teacher. Each student learns in a different way, and each teacher teaches in a different way. So if you change that relationship, you can have drastically different results in a student, even if both teachers had the best of intentions.
Can I ask a question? What about learning disabilities, whether they're, I know this opens maybe a can of worms, but whether they're real or whether they're perceived? Quite a discussion sometimes. How much do you tell a new teacher about learning disabilities in a child?
Thanks for bringing that up. That's a good question. When it comes to learning disabilities, I believe, like I mentioned, I believe there's times where the combination of a new teacher and the student growing up can combat that, but there is times where you're going to carry an issue, a learning disability, through to the end of grade 10, or, you know, probably past that. How do you equip a teacher when they're getting a new student that has a learning disability? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's fair enough to say that Johnny is challenged in math. If you spin your math lesson, you have to make sure that he gets it. And if he has it, the others should all be fine too. But when you explain things out and get them started, make sure that this student gets started and that the others can come along. I think that's nothing wrong with that.
And when it comes to more difficult ones, It was the second year I taught a student in grade one. That wasn't grade one. Started to have some difficulties in perception and reading, and he just kind of clam up. Anyways, that, I won't say more about that, but that situation for the first 2 years, in the last 2 years I taught, the teachers fought with it pretty much themselves. It came to the point where it was bigger than just the teachers. So the board actually takes, you know, a responsibility for helping this child, you know, go from classroom to classroom, from year to year. Yep. So I think it's a good idea for the board to take a bit of initiative in that, if you know that there's something that's going to be a little bigger than your teacher can handle. Help move them from year to year. It might involve a tutor, it might not. Anyways, we need to move on. Any more thoughts on that quickly? We have 5 minutes. And I'd like to get to number four for sure. That one I'd like to spend a bit of time on. Number three, what are some ways that administration can build character and overall effectiveness in an experienced teacher? This includes teachers that are there from years that are experienced teachers. So how can administration, school board, and co-teachers help build the character that you need a teacher and the overall effectiveness? Any quick tips?
Well, I don't know. I think in all areas of life, it's usually more effective to encourage good points than to always picking on and discouraging the bad points.
There may well be things that you need to point out that need to change. If there is no value in criticism, don't give it. If they're not going to gain anything, if nobody's going to gain anything from it, don't bother. When you do have to, be tactful. Because your new teacher's probably going to take this personally again. Even though it's a minor detail, if you're going to go and say that approach doesn't work, the teacher's going to take that. A new teacher that hasn't grasped how this all works is going to take it personally, probably. Anything else on that? Okay, number four. What are some must-haves for a school board toolboxes for onboarding new teachers? And if we don't have a whole list, then maybe we could talk a little bit about this, the possibility of having a mentor for a new teacher. Any thoughts? Is there things that have worked for you that have been a blessing to you in your school? This is what the topic's all about. Yep.
It's important that the principal goes over the playground rules or whatever with the different students. It's very important. The upper class can throw snowballs, but the middle will mend. That goes. There's a lot of those things which all it is a matter of getting everyone on the same page.
Efficient transfer of information. That is one of the best things you can do, is give that teacher what they need to know. And if you're not going to give him a list, at least give him access. If they have questions, find it out. Anything else? Well, if not, it is time to move on. Thank you for your thoughts and discussions, and may God bless you, especially those that are involved in onboarding a new teacher, and all of you that are involved in the work of the school, whether you have a role, a defined role or not. May God bless you, and you're dismissed.